It's time for RP3 and Company, where Raymond Parts III and Cody Schutz talk sports with the biggest names in the state of Louisiana. Two-time Super Bowl winning quarterback Eli Manning.
You know, it's my job to do my job as best I can, but to be a good teammate. You know, I've always been great in the quarterback room, helping everybody out.
Former LSU and Saints star wide receiver Devery Henderson.
To get that opportunity, man, and get that call on draft day, seeing that 504 number, it was something else, man. When I got that call, man, it was real humbling, and you know, being able to play for Maine State and be still close to home.
Time to find out what's behind that door as RP3 and Company starts now.
Good morning. Welcome to RP3 and Company right here on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game. We're broadcasting live from the 237 Roof Studios, presented by Lafayette Roofing. We're also simulcast on Stadium Network 32.1. You can also find us on LUS Fiber 133 and 1133 in high definition. We've got a tremendous show lined up for you today. We'll be having Tim Buckley from the Daily Advertiser. He'll join us at 7:32 to talk all things Raging Cajuns, recap Sunbelt Media Day for us. We'll also have Ron Higgins from TigerDetails.com. He'll join us at 8:02 to talk the controversy surrounding the LSU locker room upgrades and much more. We'll also touch on Zion Williamson signing that big shoe deal with Nike, which caught some people off guard, and much, much more. But I want to start things off this morning talking about that LSU locker room situation. And more information came out yesterday after we were off the air regarding that not only were the donations that helped bankroll the $28 million renovation project there for the football operations facility. Former players chipped in. Tyrann Mathieu being one of them. He chipped in to be part of this, to give back to the university. Remember, things went sideways between Tyrann and the university. He was a Heisman Trophy finalist, one of the most sensational players in the country. A failed drug test forced him to be suspended and off the team. There was a bit of division between Tyrann, the Honey Badger, and the university. That's been repaired over the years, and Tyrann wanted to do something for his former school, the school that he believes helped him more than anything. You know, we know how close Tyrann, the Honey Badger, is with his mentor, Patrick Peterson, who was already there at LSU when Tyrann arrived. And we know Patrick is giving back to their university, to the athletic department. They've done a good job, as a lot of the former LSU defensive backs in particular have done, by reaching out to the younger generation, reaching out to the guys that are coming behind them. So not only did we find out that it was Tyrann Mathieu that gave back, guess what? So did Patrick Peterson. And LSU's locker room has been The new locker room has been the talk of college football since it was unveiled on Sunday, right? First, it was all this fanfare. The current LSU players, Michael Divinity and others, gushed over it on social media. LSU promoted it via a video montage, a produced video that they shared on social media. But then came the pushback. Pushback from Charles Mann, a professor at LSU, talking about how they have this new state-of-the-art football facility while he's vacuuming his office with his own dirt devil. And that caused a firestorm, with LSU players clapping back at him directly. and then him kind of stepping back from that and going, well, I'm not saying that the football program or the athletic program shouldn't have nice things. It would just be nice if the university put a priority on academics as much as it does athletics. This is a professor on campus that's saying these things. Yes. Would it be nice if the university did these other things? Would it be nice if the university fixed the library? That's been very much a focal point in this criticism of the new locker room upgrades. Absolutely. It would be great. But that's the university's decision. This should not prevent Tyrann Mathieu and Patrick Peterson from, if they're wanting to, donating millions of dollars to their former team, to their athletic department, to do something nice. The football team, the program itself, generates millions of dollars for the university. Whether or not the university decides to take some of that money, some of that profit that they get from the 100,000 people that show up on Saturdays inside Tiger Stadium to cheer on the Tigers, well, that's entirely on the university and the university administration. That's not Patrick Peterson's responsibility. That's not Tyrann Mathieu's responsibility. That's not Coach Ed O's responsibility. You see the problem. Both players, Tyrann Mathieu and Patrick Peterson, have donated to help raise funds to complete the project. Not to mention they were both All-Americans there and had immense amount of success playing for a national championship. LSU football has also since tweeted out testimonials from Mathieu and Peterson regarding the school's importance to them and why they were motivated to donate and to help complete the project. The Players Lounge is actually named after the Honey Badger. It's called the Mathieu Players Lounge. Now, once again, these players are allowed to do that. And the conversation that was sprung over the weekend and caught like wildfire yesterday is muddled with misinformation. The renovation project, $28 million upgrade for the locker room at the football operations facility, was privately donated. Those donors, whether it was Tyrann Mathieu and Patrick Peterson, or whether it was boosters, or whether it was a booster or a former LSU alum that lives in Acadiana or lives in Alexandria or lives in Texas, whoever it might be, they are allowed to make a donation to the university if this is a project that they want to donate to. It's up to them. These same people, the Honey Badger, Patrick Peterson, boosters that live in Acadiana, alumni that live in Houston, they're all allowed to make donations to the university for specific reasons. Hell, dorm rooms and classroom buildings all the time have their names changed due to donations. I want to donate to the university. I'd like that building to have my name on it. Can we make that happen? Here's a check. Thank you. This didn't happen with the library. So why? Why is this not happening with the library? It's a big point of discussion. People are like, well, academics should be treated the same way. Okay. Yet, the library may have its issues. And yes, if I'm a professor or if I'm a student that is not a student athlete, is it going to perturb me a little bit to see a state-of-the-art locker room with AirPods and cup holders and all the other like high-tech stuff that is inside the locker room now at LSU? Probably. Sure. But this notion that the LSU campus is crumbling, that's being a little disingenuous. And I've seen that narrative thrown out there, that the campus is decaying. It's all decaying. LSU is crumbling. Did you know that? I had no idea. Spent a considerable amount of time on the campus at LSU covering events, and yet I don't see a decaying campus. Don't see it. They have other projects that are being brought up. There are other projects that the university is investing time and money in. Once again, the football facility that is privately donated. Once again, privately donated. This is not your tax dollars. This is not the state of Louisiana footing the bill for this renovation project. This is not the taxpayers in Baton Rouge or East Baton Rouge, West Baton Rouge parishes, or the state of Louisiana. Hell, the university is not even footing the bill for this. Private donations. So why are people so angry? Why has this angered so many people? LSU football revenue for 2017-18 season came in more than $86 million with a net profit of more than $55 million. That's one season of foosball. Okay? The entire total revenue generated by all LSU sports was roughly $100 million. That's right. All sports. All the LSU sports generated a little over $100 million. 86 of that courtesy of the football program. LSU plays 17 different sports, ladies and gentlemen. Football props everyone else up. Everyone else up. And LSU's not the only university that's built that way. Unless you're talking about the old Big East schools for basketball, the majority of college programs, the majority of athletic departments throughout the United States are propped up by the football team. That's how the other sports survive. If you take away the football program at LSU for the 2017-18 season, you take that number out, the rest, they would lose money. They would lose money. So it's probably pretty important to have the football program have investors. It's probably of dire importance to have former players willing to donate their own money and give back to their university to help continued success there because of how much the athletic department in general needs the revenue generated by football and how much the university needs the revenue generated by football. Once again, I understand the argument. If you want to be pissed off, you want to be angry about this. If this was not private donations, if the university paid for this, you have every right to be angry. If the state of Louisiana footed the bill for this, you have every right to be angry. Okay? If the taxpayers had to foot the bill for this, you have every right to be angry. None of those things happen. These are private people, millionaires, maybe even a billionaire, that donated to an athletic department to build a locker room. You shouldn't be this upset by it. For real. You should not be this upset about it. We'll talk more about the LSU locker room controversy coming up after this break, right here on Acadiana Sports Station 103.7 The Game. Welcome back to the show. You're listening to Acadiana Sports Station 103.7, The Game. We let off the show today talking about the LSU locker room controversy. It's kind of a faux controversy. Let's be honest here. Once again, private donations bankrolled the $28 million upgrade renovation project there for the LSU locker room. That's what did that. Former players chimed in with that. Tyrann Mathieu, the Honey Badger. Patrick Peterson. These are the guys that helped get this project finished. They decided to make their own donations. This was not taxpayers' money. This was not the state of Louisiana footing the bill. This was not Louisiana State University footing the bill. And things got a little tense yesterday on the social media platforms as guys like Joe Burrow and others, current players, were, as the kids like to call it, clapping back, basically throwing shade back at some of the people that were critical of the upgrades, the facilities. Tops on that list, Robert Mann, former Times Picayune columnist that now is a professor at LSU, who tweeted out and kind of started this little bit of this firestorm, at least in the state and regionally. Quote, meanwhile, across campus, I vacuum my faculty office with a dust devil I bought at Walmart. People tweeted at him, you have to vacuum your own office because you only teach one class. You see how that went. Joe Burrow tweeted at him as well, directly, the leader of the LSU offense. Quote, why, professor, do you feel entitled to the fruits of our labor? End quote. Joe deleted that tweet. Man walked back his statement, qualifying, saying he doesn't begrudge LSU football its resources, but talked about how the university doesn't make a similar commitment to its academic success. Once again, the LSU athletic program, essentially powered by the success of the football team. Once again, 100,000 people, ladies and gentlemen, show up for home football games. 100,000 people pay those ticket prices, buy those concessions, go to the team store, buy their LSU gear, their purple and their gold. And they spend a lot of money on parking for the RV lot. The whole nine yards. Football props up everything else. The other more than a dozen sports that LSU offers is propped up financially and is able to have the money for new uniforms, new helmets, new gloves, new rackets, all that good stuff, new travel bags, paying for travel expenses, bus rides, plane rides, the whole nine yards. That is helped, aided greatly by the money that LSU football brings into the university and the athletic department in particular. Reports have that LSU's athletic program, powered by the football team, directly contributes anywhere between $7 to $10 million per year into the university's coffers. Not to mention what having successful, wildly popular sports teams, and particularly in this case a football team, does to your enrollment. Kids coming out of high school, whether they're athletes or not, want to go to the flagship university. They want to go to the popular school. They like going to schools that have 100,000 people show up for football games. Not all kids are that way, but a lot of them are. So, once again, the complaining, is it warranted that the library is having some decay? Absolutely. That should be addressed. The university should take care of that. Absolutely, without a doubt. No question. That should have been already taken care of. But it's not the athletic department's responsibility to make sure the library is taken care of. If they're generating anywhere between $7 to $10 million per year into the university's coffers, then it's up to the university to make sure to take care of the library that is used by thousands of students. It's not the athletic department to make sure that it's taken care of. It just isn't. It's not their responsibility. Just because you don't have something does not mean that someone else should suffer for it or have to sacrifice to give you what you want. Especially if they're not connected in any real way. So they have to do a better job. Yes, LSU should be taking care of the library. You're absolutely correct. Without a doubt, that library should be taken care of. But I want to mention this too. Yes, the library is in a little bit of disarray. It needs repairs. It needs financial assistance. It needs some renovation. Absolutely, without a doubt, should be taken care of. But nowhere in this argument have I heard anyone talk about LSU's brand new business college, which is state-of-the-art facility. So it's not like LSU's education is being ignored, ladies and gentlemen. It's not. Apparently, the library is going to be fixed. They just unveiled a brand new business college facility that's multiple stories, beautiful glass and lighting, the whole nine yards. So, I mean, just LSU does make a priority for academics. To believe that it doesn't is just disingenuous. Welcome back to the show. Let's talk a little Raging Cajun baseball, shall we? Not only did they knock it out of the park by the hiring of Sam Houston State head coach Matt Deggs, a former assistant coach at UL under Tony Robichaud, when they hired Matt Deggs to replace Tony. As we know, Tony passed away earlier this month at the age of 57. And they reached out and got the former assistant coach, a man whose life and career was saved by Tony. And now he's going to come and fill those very large shoes. And he's going to continue honoring Tony and the program that Robe built here for 25 years. Nationally recognized, nationally ranked program that went to NCAA regionals, NCAA super regionals, and a College World Series. So they got the right man for the job as the head coach. Well, news broke last night, first by D1Baseball.com and then confirmed by our friend Tim Buckley, who, by the way, Tim Buckley will be joining us live at 7:32 to recap Sunbelt Media Day and talk Raging Cajun football. But the baseball team is adding a significant big name and former alum to its baseball staff. Former All-Star pitcher B.J. Ryan is set to be named the Raging Cajuns' new pitching coach. Ryan is expected to replace Daniel Freeman, UL's volunteer assistant pitching coach, the past five seasons. Now, B.J.'s name has been mentioned ever since Deggs got hired last week, or you know when it appeared that Deggs was going to be hired and then it was confirmed. So that name's been floating around out there for a little while. But sources have told D1Baseball.com and have told Tim Buckley at the Daily Advertiser that Ryan's set to become the new pitching coach. Now, Ryan played for the Cajuns back in 1997 and 1998. So he played for Tony. He was an All-Sunbelt Conference pitcher in 1998, and he was inducted into the UL Athletics Hall of Fame in 2016. Not only does B.J. bring to the table and bring to the staff, hey, I bleed the vermilion and white. I'm from the state of Louisiana. He's originally from Bossier City. I played for the Raging Cajuns. I played for Robe. I was a star here. I know what it takes to play here. I understand the pressure that is placed on a Raging Cajun player because expectations are so great here. He also had himself a heck of a big league career. That's right. B.J. Ryan, if you remember, got to the show. He was selected by the Cincinnati Reds in the 1998 Major League Baseball draft, made his debut in 1999, and then he joined the Baltimore Orioles. The left-handed relief pitcher would be with the Orioles for seven seasons, including being voted as an All-Star in 2005. The former airline high product played his final four seasons in the big leagues for the Toronto Blue Jays, which ended in 2009. He was also an All-Star for the Blue Jays in 2006. Now, how do they have the space for this? Well, as Buckley has reported, Freeman's planned departure from UL was prompted largely by the fact that the NCAA did not approve that third full-time paid assistant. That was already in the works before Robe's passing. Also last week, UL Athletic Director Brian Maggard said after Deg's hiring that the employment of the Cajuns' other assistants and staffers, including associate head coach, player and program development director Anthony Babineau, hitting coach slash assistant coach Jake Wells, recruiting coordinator assistant coach Jeremy Talbot, and part-time academic and camp coordinator Chris Domain were secure. All four are expected to be on Deg's staff, though as Buckley is reporting, it remains to be seen if any of their job titles will change. But you get a guy, a former Raging Cajun star, who's in the Raging Cajun Athletic Hall of Fame, who was a two-time Major League Baseball All-Star and was in the big leagues for quite a long time. And you have him join the staff because we know what Deggs does. Deggs was an immensely successful hitting coach under Robe. And even before then, he was a great hitting coach at Texas A&M and Arkansas before that. But Deggs is known for what he can do with his players, the development of hitters. Tony was known for what? Pitching, right? He was known on how to recruit guys and how to develop those diamonds in the rough and make them into draft prospects on the bump. That's what Tony's bread and butter was, pitching. Well, Deggs, that's not his. So you got to bring in some guy that's going to carry some weight. You got to bring in a guy that's going to deliver the goods, that knows the ins and outs of pitching. And they hit another, excuse the pun, home run here. They're getting a guy who is an all-conference pitcher. That alone would have been a home run hire. A former Raging Cajun star, and he's a pitcher. That alone will carry weight in that locker room. That alone will carry weight when they're recruiting and trying to get the best high school pitchers throughout the state of Louisiana to commit to them and play for the Raging Cajuns. That alone would have done that. But then on top of it, your new pitching coach just so happened to play in the show. And play in the show for a considerable amount of time and was a two-time All-Star, which means he was the best at his position. He was considered the best by the league's coaches, his fellow players, and the fans. That carries even more weight. Because now you're a Louisiana native. You're a former Raging Cajun star. You're a former all-conference player. And your draft pick, and you made it to the show. Oh, and when you got there, you succeeded at the highest level as a relief pitcher, being named an All-Star not once, but twice. Absolute sensational hire here by the Raging Cajuns. And Ryan is still fairly young. He's only 43 years old. That's it. He played in the big leagues from 1999 to 2009, so he played a full decade in the bigs. An all-star selection for two separate franchises, the Baltimore Orioles and the Toronto Blue Jays. And here's another thing. This is a guy that also overcame having to have Tommy John surgery and was able to come back from Tommy John surgery. How great would that have been to have someone like B.J. Ryan help Gunnar Leger in his mental preparation and also in his physical rehab of how to prepare and how to attack the rehab process and how to come back from such an injury that used to be a generation ago ended careers. You would get Tommy John and that'd be it. It'd be a wrap. Your career was done. Now that's not the case, but the recovery is still slow and it takes a couple years to bounce back and to return to form. B.J. Ryan had Tommy John surgery in his left elbow. And he was able to come back. And he did so less than a year removed. And he still pitched for another year. So he's going to bring that to the table as well. So if you're a pitcher currently on the staff for UL, or you're a recruit out there in the state of Louisiana, this guy, you're going to meet this guy? Deggs is a charismatic guy if there ever was one. You're going to want to play for him, first of all. But then you're going to meet B.J. Ryan, a guy that was a star in college, made it to the show, two-time All-Star, overcame having undergone Tommy John surgery and still bounce back from it. You're going to listen to that guy. You're going to want to play for that guy. You're going to want to pitch for that guy. You're going to want to learn how to be a better pitcher in the college level, and you're going to want to just pick this guy's brain. This guy overcame a severe career-ending injury. This is a guy who was a two-time All-Star. This is a guy that worked his way up. You know how hard it is for relief pitchers to make it to the show? Those guys get lost in the mix. He somehow found the way to get to the big leagues and stay there for a decade. Tremendous hire for the Raging Cajuns. Absolute tremendous hire. I didn't think they could do any better than when they went out and got themselves Deggs, a man attached to Robe in more ways than just baseball, to lead this program, to honor Tony Robichaud's spirit, and to carry on the legacy of what he's built here in the Lafayette area with the Raging Cajun program, making it a national program. I thought, there's no way they could do better. There's no way they could make this even better. And then sure enough, what'd they do? Now they're going to have B.J. Ryan added to the staff. Just phenomenal job by Dr. Brian Maggard and the UL Athletic Department for finding Tony's replacement a little over than 2 weeks after his death and finding the absolute right guy, the guy that is the perfect fit for that job because of his hard-nosed approach, because of his coaching philosophy, and because of his respect for the program and for what Coach Robe did. That's what makes Deggs a home run hire. And now you add B.J. Ryan, a former Raging Cajun star, a former all-conference selection, and a guy who made it to the show and played for a decade and was a two-time All-Star and overcame Tommy John surgery. Yeah. Watch out for UL. They've been in a little bit of a lull due to some injuries and some guys not signing with them that went to the big leagues and some guys that got injured. But with Deggs and B.J. Ryan, this is going to be a dangerous team. Dangerous team. I'd expect to see a huge improvement for this team, even starting next year. We got to hit a break. We'll wrap up the the first hour of today's show here on RP3 and Company, right here on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game. Welcome back to the show. I want to talk a little bit more about the LSU locker room controversy. We asked you, the listeners, yesterday to give us your thoughts. We had a couple of phone calls sharing their thoughts about it. We put it up as our poll question on 1037thegame.com. Cody, what are our results now that we got about 24 hours with that poll up and running on the website, sir?
The poll question was, do you feel LSU's state-of-the-art locker room is too much? And the results are in. 85% say no, it is not too much. While we do have that other 15% or so hanging out there saying that, yes, it's a little too much. So overwhelmingly, though, the results are saying no, not too much for that new locker room for the Tigers.
I like that. I like that. And I think that's how the majority of people feel. I think there's a vocal minority, once again, that are dealing with misinformation, that are under the impression that what's occurring with the LSU football program and the upgrades to the locker room and to the operations facility is being, the bill is being footed by the university, which it is not, by the state of Louisiana, which it is not, or by taxpayers, which it is not. It's private donations or bankrolling that. And once again, they are allowed to do so. And not to mention that LSU, the campus is not crumbling. Okay? It's not in a decaying state. It is not, in fact, a post-apocalyptic movie. This is not, you don't go on campus at LSU and you're like, wow, this is the set of Mad Max. No. That's not what's going on. They just unveiled that new business college. It's state-of-the-art. It looks fancier than most business buildings. So they are committed. And once again, it's not the players' job. It's not the former players' job. It's not the athletic department's job to make sure to secure private donations for the university. It's LSU donors' job to know exactly what they are donating to. Alumni, boosters, etc. It's their job to do that. That's their job. It's not Tyrann Mathieu's job. It's not Patrick Peterson's job. It's not Coach Ed Orgeron's job. Hell, it's not even Athletic Director Scott Woodward's job. It's not their jobs. There are other people that are employed by Louisiana State University that their job is to secure donations for the academic side of the university. The fact that they're not getting it is not the fault of the football program. Plain and simple. We got a new poll question, though, that I want to put up, because I'm excited about it, and I think you are too. PJ Ryan reports D1 baseball, confirmed by our friend Tim Buckley at the Daily Advertiser, that B.J. Ryan is coming back home. He's coming to UL, where he was a collegiate star. He's going to take over as the pitching coach. Two-time All-Star. Was in the big leagues for a decade. Overcame Tommy John surgery. The resume is phenomenal. He's coming back home. I'm excited about it. I think it is a phenomenal hire. And I think it's going to do wonders for this team in recruiting and the development of the pitchers they have on staff right now. But we want to hear from you. Tell us what you think about B.J. Ryan being hired at UL. You can do so by calling the ARCO Equipment Hotline, 337-706-0111, 337-706-0111. We want to hear if you're as excited as we are. We're also going to throw it up as our new poll question at 1037thegame.com. Cody, how's this bad boy? How's this new poll question going to be worded? Because you were getting creative with it.
We want to know from you, how big of a home run hire is B.J. Ryan as the Cajuns' new pitching coach? Your choices are, it's a grand slam, it's a three-run home run, a two-run homer, a solo shot, or maybe it's not a home run at all.
Oh, we're giving the people five choices?
Yeah, five choices.
Oh, I love it. I love it. So make sure to go to 1037thegame.com and vote on that poll question. Or you can call us on the Arco Equipment Hotline, 337-706-0111, and tell us what you think about B.J. Ryan, former Raging Cajun star, all-conference selection, Major League Baseball draft pick, 10-year veteran in the Big Show, and a two-time All-Star, is going to be joining the staff as the pitching coach for the Raging Cajuns for new coach Matt Dex. Tremendous hire. And they're retaining everyone else. And they're keeping Anthony Babineaux and the rest of the staff intact. And you're adding B.J. Ryan. And you're going to bring in Matt Dex. Whew. Cajuns. Those guys are going to honor. And here's what makes the B.J. Ryan hire so special. You can look at the resume, and it's phenomenal for a program in the conference and the size of UL to get a guy with that kind of big league experience, right, to come and be an assistant coach for your program. That is a steal. But what's more impressive and what makes this hire special for me is the fact that it's another robe guy. The guy that you've selected to replace Tony as the head coach had his life and career saved by Robe and was an assistant under Robe and embraces the culture that Robe built here at the Raging Cajuns. And he took that with him and took it to Sam Houston State, where he had immense success in 5 years, including two NCAA regionals and a super regional. And you turn it over to him. And then you're allowing him to bring another robe guy, a guy that played for Tony, and that the lessons he learned from Tony helped him become a two-time All-Star, and now he's coming back and he's giving back to his alma mater. Just blown away by these two hires. A big tip of the hat to Dr. Brian Maggard in the University of Louisiana. We got to pay some bills. We'll be back after a break talking Zion Williamson.
Live and local, we are Acadiana's sports station. 1037 The Game. KLWB, Karen Crow, Lafayette. It's time for RP3 and Company, where Raymond Parks III and Cody Schutz talk sports with the biggest names in the state of Louisiana. Raging Cajun legend Brian Mitchell.
My dream was always to play in the NFL, so having an opportunity was the main thing I needed.
LSU College World Series hero Warren Morris.
I don't get tired of talking about it. You know, if people remember me for that home run and winning that championship, I think that's great.
Time to find out what's behind that door as RP3 and Company starts now.
Me and a group of friends, we went to see Avengers Endgame. And if you know me, Thanos is my favorite character. So, Captain America's shield's broken. I'm like, we're about to win. Like, for once, the movie's going to be realistic and the bad guy wins sometimes. You know, because he's the strongest. So, my friend Axel, he's like, hold on. All of a sudden, all these superheroes who disappeared 5 years ago just start appearing. And I'm like, oh, I might lose. And he looks at me and he goes, let's dance. Let's dance.
Welcome back to RP3 and Company right here on Acadiana Sports Station 103.7 The Game. We are broadcasting live from the 237 Roof Studios presented by Lafayette Roofing. We're also simulcast on Stadium Network 32.1. That's free over-the-air 24-hour sports coverage. And you can find us on LUS Fiber 133 and 1133 in high definition. That, ladies and gentlemen, was Pelicans' number one overall draft pick, former Duke phenom, and Thanos fan club vice president, Zion Williamson. Let's dance is the catchphrase that he kind of said there. He explains what his Let's Dance comes from. He was giving the story there about how it comes from watching Avengers Endgame and how he's a big Thanos fan and his one of his friends was like, no. And that's how he came up with the Let's Dance, which became a trending item that the Pels have embraced. Zion also has reasons to dance as well. 75 million of them. The big fella has reached a 7-year deal worth $75 million with the Jordan brand. Williamson's 7-year deal with the company means an average of $10.7 million per year for the former Duke basketball star and number one overall pick of the New Orleans Pelicans. NBA legend, the GOAT himself, Michael Jordan, ironically, who is a UNC Tar Heel, arch rival of the Duke Blue Devils, was ecstatic that the Jordan brand was able to lock up Zion Williamson, released a statement saying this, quote, Zion's incredible determination, character, and play are inspiring. He's an essential part of the new talent that will help lead the brand into the future. Help lead the brand into the future. He told us he would shock the world and asked us to believe him. We do. Look, this tells you everything that you need to know about the kind of buzz that is building about this cat. Because if Jordan is willing to put his brand on the line, a $1 billion industry, and is willing to give him $75 million, this tells you everything that you need to know about how people are viewing what Zion Williamson is going to be able to bring to the table. $75 million. He'll have his own shoe, of course, but it'll be a Jordan brand shoe. $75 million. The Pels, who are essentially Duke South or Duke Big Easy, they could do a starting five right now of Duke players. They got Trajan Langdon also as their general manager, former Duke Blue Devil. Zion moves the needle. He's got the big shoe deal from the Jordan brand and Nike, $75 million. He's the number one overall pick. J.J. Redick, a former Duke Blue Devil, who signed in free agency with the Pels, tremendous pickup for them. Gives them a legit three-point shooter. Quote, said this about his new teammate. Obviously, I watched Zion a ton at Duke. I probably watched 8 or 10 games this year, all of the tournament. I love his skill set and all of that. What I love the most is the kind of person he is. Even before New Orleans had won the lottery, Coach K had called me right after we lost to Toronto. JJ played for the Philadelphia 76ers last year. We were just chatting about R.J. Barrett and Zion. He basically said, Zion is the best kid in the world. That's exciting to be able to work with someone and help someone as they navigate those first few years. Is all ears and is open to things. End quote. So that tells you right there, the fact that they won the lottery and got Zion Williamson, the number one overall pick, who just wrapped up a $75 million shoe deal with Nike, the Jordan brand, helped them in free agency. Yes, the Duke connection plays a role with JJ being a former Duke Blue Devil, close to Coach K, still having that relationship. But that's what Zion is doing. Not only is he getting thousands of people to show up in New Orleans on draft night to see him being selected, not only is he causing season tickets to be sold left and right at the fastest pace that the Pels have ever experienced in their franchise history in New Orleans. But getting him on the court and getting him into the franchise helped them get someone like J.J. Redick, a veteran guy, a great three-point shooter who could have went anywhere. Hell, he could have stayed with Philly, which is a contender right now to come out of the Eastern Conference and go to the NBA Finals because of the young core that they have. He could have remained in Philly. He could have went anyone else. He could have went to the Lakers. He could have went to the Utah Jazz. He could have went to the Houston Rockets. Guys that can sit there and shoot the hell out of the three ball are in high demand in the modern NBA. He chose. J.J. Redick chose to come to the New Orleans Pelicans. In part because they hired David Griffin. J.J. has even said that he knew that they meant business then when they brought in Griff as the vice president of basketball operations. But then it was because they get such a great kid and a phenomenal talent like Zion Williamson. Going back to Zion's shoe deal, $75 million with the Jordan brand. Reports are that his shoe courtship goes all the way back to high school, when Williamson played on the Adidas summer circuit, causing many to believe that he would take his college success and pair that up with Adidas as a pro. Or even before then, because he was affiliated with Adidas in high school, that he would go to a program that itself was affiliated with Adidas, because the colleges can pick which brand produces their jerseys and their shoes. Instead, Williamson went to Duke, which is a Nike school. But remember when he had the shoe blowout, where his shoe exploded, essentially, on the court? His shoe blew up while he was wearing it. People worried that he had suffered a serious injury. Thankfully, it was not. His shoe took the brunt of that injury. And he was wearing some Kyrie Irving Jordans. And people were like, uh-oh, look, Nike can't build a shoe that can fit Zion's foot. It blows up on national TV. I want to say that was against North Carolina. That was a UNC Duke game. Shoe blew up. Then people were like, well, he's not going to sign with Nike. That didn't matter, because the big 6'7", 285-pound monster who did suffer a right knee sprain because of that shoe blowing up, and he missed six games. You know, he missed the remainder of that game and then missed the next five games. But that didn't stop him from signing with Nike. Did not stop. Nike was still able to lock him up, despite producing a shoe that Zion Williamson wore that literally just exploded, because the amount of force that Zion Williamson was trying to put on the court, the shoe couldn't handle it. I'm going to go out on a large limb here and say that the scientists there in the Nike production facility, the shoe scientists, are going to come up with a way to design custom shoes for Zion that will not be blowing up when he tries to make a cut on the court to throw down one of those slam dunks of his. It just feels like Zion is going to be just a huge star. Nike doesn't give out $75 million deals to guys who they think are not going to be stars, to guys who they think cannot be marketed across the world, and to guys who are playing in too small of a market and don't have any juice behind them in an advertising perspective. That whole notion that New Orleans, yes, it's a small media market compared to the other NBA cities, you're exactly correct. That's factual. But what's not factual is the fact that you can't be a marketable superstar out of New Orleans. Drew Brees has proven that in the NFL. Michael Thomas is proving that. Alvin Kamara is proving that for the Saints. I know the NFL is different, but if these guys playing for the Saints can become nationwide known entities and get national brands and get endorsement deals out of New Orleans, and they play a game where their head is covered up and their face is covered up by a helmet, I'm pretty sure the big fella from Duke is going to be just fine playing on the hardwood for the city of New Orleans. Just saying. Don't think it's going to be an issue whatsoever for Zion Williamson to be a star. The guy's got the star. He's got the it factor. Not only does he have the rep of being a good kid, he's a phenomenal talent, but he's just got that it factor. And he seems to be far more engaging of a personality than, say, the former face of the franchise, Anthony Davis, was, who's now with the Los Angeles Lakers. We got to pay some bills, but coming up, we'll talk a little Raging Cajun football, because one of the Cajuns has been selected to an Outland Trophy watch list. That's right. We'll talk about that coming up right here on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game. Welcome back to the show. Sun Belt Conference has three preseason candidates for the 2019 Outland Trophy, which is presented annually to the nation's most outstanding interior lineman. That's an award that's announced by the Football Writers Association of America in partnership with the National Foundation for Infectious Diseases. They made the announcement yesterday. Who made the list from the Fun Belt? Well, Appalachian State's Victor Johnson, Troy's Kirk Kelly were among the 83 candidates listed, but also UL Raging Cajun Robert Hunt. That's right. Raging Cajun is on the watch list, essentially. Now, Hunt played in and started all 14 games last season for the Raging Cajun offense. He was a 2018 All-Sun Belt second-team selection and helped pave the way for one of the best rushing attacks in the conference, which produced three 700-plus yard rushers. That's right. The Raging Cajuns had three different guys rush for at least 700 yards last year. The Burkeville, Texas native is also a 2019 preseason All-Sun Belt first-team selection. So that is tremendous news for the Raging Cajuns. Robert Hunt is, without a doubt, their best offensive lineman, and now he definitely is, based on what Coach Billy Napier told us the other day at Sunbelt Media Day, that Cole Prudhomme, the former Eunice High star, who's been their center, may have to miss the season. And we'll talk more about that with Tim Buckley of the Daily Advertiser, who will be joining us at 7:32, recapping the Raging Cajuns from Sunbelt Media Day on Monday, as well as giving his thoughts on the festivities in general. That'll be coming up. But a great honor for Robert Hunt. And the Raging Cajuns are going to be led by their rushing offense, as always. They have former ERAF star Elijah Mitchell. They have former Cecilia High star Raymond Calais. They have Trey Regas. The trio of them are pretty much unstoppable. They're three different running backs. They do have some similarities, but they're so diverse. Calais does a great job in the return game as well. He has that blistering speed that helped make him a state champion in track and field back at Cecilia High School. They're going to run the ball. We know that. And you have someone as talented as Robert Hunt, who's earning preseason accolades from the conference and is being put on the Outland Trophy list as one of the 83 best interior offensive linemen in the country. You have a great foundation for success this coming season. But if you're the Raging Cajuns, you got to get more dynamic in the passing game. You got to have other guys step up. You got Jamarcus Bradley. You got, hopefully, a healthy Bam Jackson this year. Birth name, Jared Jackson. but you need a more dynamic passing attack. You got the running backs. Hell, you got three running backs. Each one of those guys that's part of the platoon, that three-headed monster of UL, could be the starting running back for any of the other teams in the Sun Belt Conference. All three of them could. Without a doubt. They're that good. They're that talented. And when you got a monster across the line of scrimmage like Robert Hunt, you're going to be able to run the ball so well. And that's tough to stop. They averaged more than 200 yards a game on the ground last year, the Raging Cajuns did. Tremendous rushing attack in Billy Napier's first year as the head football coach. And Rob Sale, former offensive lineman, as the OC. So you know they're going to want to be tough. You know they're going to want to be kind of gnarly down there in the trenches, right? They love running the football. Linemen tell you they love to run block because it's physical. And you get to beat up on those defensive linemen. And when your running back picks up that first down, you can talk all types of trash to that defensive lineman. Pass blocking's a little bit different. Different approach. Got to be in your stance differently. Different responsibilities. There are certain guys that are great at run blocking that are absolutely atrocious at pass blocking and vice versa. We don't know if the Raging Cajuns are going to be great, can be great at pass blocking. Because they depended on the run so much last year. That was their offensive identity, and it was good enough for them to win 7 games. It was good enough for them to win the Sun Belt Western Division Championship and play for the conference championship and get to a bowl game. But if they want to take the next step and they want to go toe-to-toe with the likes of Troy and they want to go toe-to-toe with the likes of App State and be the best team in the Sun Belt Conference, that passing attack is going to have to take the next step. It's going to have to get better. You got the running backs to help relieve the pressure, so to speak, off of the quarterback's shoulders. You got good offensive linemen. Losing Cole Prudhom, which could be a possibility, will hurt them in that, obviously. But you still got Robert Hunt. He's on the Outland Trophy watch list here, preseason list. You have talented guys. You have some question marks on defense. And, of course, we'll dive into that with Tim Buckley coming up at 7:32. But you have the pieces. Can the offense in year two with Billy Napier, and whether it's Levi Lewis or whoever else it might be on staff that's going to be the quarterback, can there be better performance at the quarterback position and better performance at the wide receiver spot? You got to have someone else than just Jamarcus Bradley catching passes. They had too many drops last year too. Billy Napier said so as much at Media Day on Monday in New Orleans inside the Mercedes-Benz Superdome, where, ironically, the Raging Cajuns will open up the 2019 season against Mississippi State of the SEC. They'll have a fall camp to get more dynamic on offense and be more consistent and have a dangerous passing attack. If they can do that, the Raging Cajuns can compete for conference championship. But we'll see if they'll be able to do that. We'll talk all things Raging Cajuns and a recap of Sunbelt Media Day when Tim Buckley of the Daily Advertiser joins us coming up after these commercials right here on Acadiana Sports Station 103.7 The Game. Welcome back to RP3 and Company right here on Acadiana Sports Station 103.7 The Game. It's time now for us to head out to the ARCO Equipment Hotline and welcome on our next guest. He is the award-winning Raging Cajuns beat writer for the Daily Advertiser. He's going to help give us a recap from his perspective of Sun Belt Media Day held in New Orleans on Monday. It's the one and only Tim Buckley. Tim, good morning to you. How are you today?
A little sleepy, Raymond, but it's all good.
I hear that, man. I hear that. Well, let's talk. Just give me your takeaways from the Raging Cajuns, what Billy Napier and Deuce Wallace and Bam Jackson had to say on Monday in New Orleans.
Well, a lot of expected, as all these media day things tend to go. You know, obviously the Cajuns were picked to win the Sun Belt West, and you know, Napier really didn't have strong feelings on that, frankly, one way or the other. Seemed like Arkansas State was a little bit more riled up than anything about that. But in any event, there was a little bit of news, and I use the term news very loosely because it's actually old news that they were just getting around to filling us in on, which is that Cole Prudhomme, the Cajun starting center the last two seasons, tore an ACL late in the spring. They did not disclose it at that time. And did get around to it on Monday, and they got some things to figure out as a result of that. Napier said that they're going to make a decision after two games on whether indeed he's going to be out for the whole season and take a red shirt or not. That's usually a 6 to 9 month injury, so I gotta imagine that the likelihood is that he misses the whole season, and then they got to go figure out. Replacement possibilities. He threw out several of them. Shane Vallow from Como High, among them, very inexperienced but very highly regarded. And there was several others as well, including but not limited to Jax Harrington, who's actually a true freshman out of ERAF. Napier kind of talked about how mentally he seems quite capable of it, and didn't rule out the possibility of taking Ken Marks, who was a line starter last season, and sliding him over into the center spot.
We're talking with Tim Buckley of the Daily Advertiser here on the ARCO Equipment Hotline. Tim, Coach Napier said that Levi Lewis was, in fact, his leader, but did not commit that he was the starting quarterback. What did you take from what Billy had to say about his quarterback situation?
Well, I found that really interesting because when we started talking, when we were doing some of our individual and small group breakdowns, we were talking in the context of asking about Braden Hawkins, who's somebody that they signed earlier this year, I should say brought in earlier this year. It's still unclear as to whether or not he's actually signed or whether he's on some sort of deferred scholarship. But in any event, we were asking in the context of him and whether or not he's going to be eligible this season. And Napier, you know, disclosed, as we all suspected, that they are appealing for a waiver in order to make him eligible right away. But you know, they're a ways off from learning whether or not that's going to be granted or not. And he spoke of it in terms of if Hawkins does become eligible, he would become part of the competition to figure out who's going to be the main person competing with Levi Lewis. So what I read into that is Levi Lewis does not have the number one job absolutely locked down. He will have competition. Napier did say that he was the leader in the clubhouse at this point, which is what we all expected coming out of the spring, clearly. But they don't know who their backup is yet. Is it going to be Javi Magale, the JUCO kid who didn't play down last season because he had this gruesome knee injury? Is it potentially going to be Hawkins if he gets eligible right away as opposed to having to sit out a year after transferring? That kid's been here, there, and everywhere. He played at three different high schools. He was at UTEP for a month or so in the summer. He spent last season as a redshirt at Maryland. Or might it be one of the true freshmen, Clifton McDowell, who was in for the spring, or the kid Chandler Fields out of Archbishop Rommel, who Napier had really good things to say about and said he's really kind of made a really good, quick, early impression on his teammates since he got here for summer workouts.
We're talking with Tim Buckley of the Daily Advertiser. He covers the Raging Cajuns for that news publication. Tim, anything stand out from you from what Bam Jackson and the rest of the Raging Cajuns had to say on Monday?
Well, as far as the band goes, or Jerry Jackson, as his birth certificate says, there's so much talk about the Cajun running back, you know, obviously with Elijah Mitchell and Trey Regis, who's now healthy after missing the spring, and Raymond Calais, and all the production that came out of those guys last season and all the expectations that there are for this season. Well, you know, there's going to have to be more to the Cajun offense than just those guys, because otherwise you're going to load the box just key on those guys, and Cajun's going to have to figure out ways to keep opposing defenses honest. And I think Bam Jackson and Jamarcus Bradley are going to be huge parts of that. Those two guys as receivers have to step up. Some of the other depth that they have at receiver is going to have to step up. They got like four young guys that, you know, any one of them could emerge as a potential target. And when Napier was talking about his offense and things that he needs to see be done better, the first thing he led with was we got to throw and catch the ball better. And I think Jackson's going to be a big part of that equation. If they can get something legitimate going out of their passing game and have, you know, Jamarcus Bradley, who's a potential NFL prospect, do what I think everybody thinks he's fully capable of. And if you can have Sam Jackson be productive and make some of the big plays that it seems like he's capable of, and he's certainly shown flashes of doing, that could be a real good counterpoint to a ground game that certainly is one of the best in the Sun Belt and all of a group of five, for that matter.
We're talking with Tim Buckley of the Daily Advertiser here on the ARCO Equipment Hotline. Tim, for you, we're only a few weeks away from the start of camp. What are some question marks besides offensive line and at wide receiver for you heading into fall camp for the Cajuns?
Well, I mean, on the other side, on the back end, they got to get things figured out in that secondary. Who are going to be the rotation regulars? Besides, like at cornerback, Michael Jacquet or Eric Gehr, which of those other guys are going to step up? Mike Kamar Greenhouse be one of them. They got a whole bunch of candidates at safety for some playing time. Obviously, Deuce Wallace, who's in New Orleans, being one of them, and Braylon Trahan, and the list goes on and on and on. Which of those guys are going to step up and really be dependable, accountable, and maybe more importantly than anything else, consistent? I think that's one of the biggest things they got to clean up. They're, I think, in pretty good shape on up front. If Zion Hill, and that's a big if Zion Hill can stay healthy, and the same goes for Benny Higgins, who missed the spring with, I think it was a hand or a wrist or something like that. They got some depth with some of the young guys behind them, and I think they really feel good about their outside linebackers, especially on the outside with Joe Dillon coming back, and a lot of expectations for Chauncey Manack, who's, you know, somebody, he began his career at Georgia, redshirted there, and you never know with the SEC guys, but he's one that certainly seems to have the ability. But to me, the big question marks are if they can really tighten things down in the secondary.
We're talking with Tim Buckley here of the Daily Advertiser on the ARCO Equipment Hotline. Tim, we know Troy, App State, those are the two cream of the crop, so to speak, in the conference the last few years, but both have new coaches. Do you expect, with the changes in leadership there with those two programs, that the Sun Belt's going to be a little bit more wide open this year?
Well, maybe to a degree, but frankly, a lot of the talent is back for both of those programs, especially App with the running back. Darrington Evans is back, and they got their quarterback back as well, so they should be in pretty good shape. I don't think the cupboard was left too bare at Troy. But I think, looking at the West, I think the Cajuns are going to have their hands full. They were picked to win the division, but, I think Arkansas State might have taken some exception to that. Let's not forget that UL Monroe was, one made or one missed field goal, depending on how you look at it, away from having the postseason be very, very different for UL had Craig Ford hit that one up in Monroe from not too far away. And
I think they feel like even though they think that the Cajuns and Arkansas State are maybe, you know, a smidge above them going in, that they have some possibilities. And they got a solid quarterback, too, and Caleb Evans. I sat down with him and was really impressed with the way that kid presented himself, and he's obviously super on the field. He's one of those guys that I think he's going into his ninth season up there in Monroe, and he can make that that outfit into a better team for sure. So a little more wide open, yeah, but also a lot of the usual same suspects at the same time.
We're wrapping things up here with Tim Buckley, the Daily Advertiser, on the ARCO Equipment Hotline. Tim, I'll wrap it up with this. The new commissioner had his State of the Conference, State of the League address to everyone. Your takeaways from the new man on the job, who's only been in that position about 3 months?
He read his speech very well. mostly remarks that were prepared coming in, not a real lot of news or anything like that, breaking, playing things very close to the vest. And, you know, he's only 3 months on the job. It'll take some time. Hopefully he'll loosen up a little bit, and there'll be more to learn as we get deeper and deeper into his reign. You know, Carl Benson was very media friendly and very open and very honest and very accessible, and hopefully eventually we get to this point as well after the transition. But as far as any news coming out of the conference yesterday, if you had slept in and skipped breakfast, Raymond, like so many days, yeah, wouldn't have missed anything.
Tim, appreciate you as always, brother. Have a good one, and we'll talk to you soon, my friend.
You got it, Raymond. Take care.
Tim Buckley, Daily Advertiser, Raging Cajun beat writer, joining us there on the ARCO Equipment Hotline. We got to hit a break, but you're listening to RP3 and Company right here on Acadiana Sports Station 103.7 The Game. Welcome back to the show. You're listening to Acadiana Sports Station 103.7 The Game. Tremendous conversation there with our friend Tim Buckley from the Daily Advertiser, giving his thoughts on the Raging Cajuns, what occurred Monday at Sunbelt Media Day, and then just an overall kind of recap of Media Day, and also a kind of a preview, kind of his thoughts of some question marks heading up for the program moving forward. It's time for us to check in with our new poll question, because Cody Schutz has it up at 103.7 The Game, has it up on 103.7thegame.com. Once again, it's in response to the news coming out, reported by Tim Buckley, as well as D1Baseball.com, that, in fact, B.J. Ryan, former Raging Cajun star player, a two-time Major League Baseball All-Star, and a 10-year league vet as a relief pitcher in the show, is going to be joining the staff of Degs as the pitching coach. And our question to you, the listener, is how big of a home run hire is B.J. Ryan as the Cajuns' new pitching coach? Now, remember, for years, the pitching coach title was essentially Robe, right? Because that was his forte. That's what he handled better than anyone, was pitching. And that's what he did. And he developed those guys and he recruited those guys. So now Deggs, who comes in, he's a hitting coach. That's his bread and butter. He's going to handle that. So they needed another guy to come in to handle being the pitching coach. That's what they brought in B.J. Ryan for. And we asked you on 1037thegame.com for our poll question, how big of a home run hire is B.J. Ryan as the Cajuns' new pitching coach? Cody, give us the up-to-date stats on this poll question, sir.
The choices for the poll question were grand slam, three-run homer, two-run homer, a solo shot, or maybe it's not a home run at all. You might be interested to hear this because we've got votes in multiple choices here, Ray. So far, still out in front with 40% saying it's a grand slam. So 40% of the votes so far are calling it a grand slam hire. Then you go down, you got 20% of the vote saying that it's a three-run home run. 20% more of the vote saying it's a solo shot. And if you could do math really quick in your head, that'll tell you that there's still 20% of people saying that it's not a home run higher. That surprises me.
Not a home run higher?
There's 20% not a home run higher. That's mind-boggling.
I want to hear from you. Give us a call on the ARCO Equipment Hotline, 337-706-0111. That's 337-706-0111. And let me know and let us know if you think B.J. Ryan is, in fact, not a home run hire for the Raging Cajuns, a guy who was an all-conference pitcher under Tony Robichaux, a guy who was drafted, a guy who made it to the big leagues, who overcame Tommy John surgery, and was a two-time Major League Baseball All-Star. How that is not a home run hire for the Raging Cajuns. I'd love to hear from you. So please, give us a call. 337-706-0111. You can also vote on the poll question at 1037thegame.com.
The link to the poll question as well is on our Twitter feed at 1037thegame. So multiple ways to let your thoughts be heard.
Yes. And a reminder that every weekday in July, someone new will win a cool $1,000. And that could be you. It's the Swinging for Cash contest right here on 103.7 The Game, Acadiana Sports Station, and it's going on right now. Listen for the keywords and enter them online at 1037thegame.com for your chance to win cash. It's the Swinging for Cash contest on 103.7 The Game, Acadiana Sports Station. If you go to our homepage, you see it. It's right there under What's Hot, Swinging for Cash. You just click on it. That'll enable you to enter the keywords for the contest for your chance to win a cool $1,000. Cody Schutz, we've already said one keyword, I do believe, this morning.
We have. We will play it again for you in about 4 minutes.
Ooh, there you go. There you go.
I can't get any more literal than that. In about 4 minutes, you'll get that keyword. If you haven't entered it already, RP3 there told you exactly what you need to do.
That's right. Top of the hour. Swinging for Cash contest. The only thing you had to do, guys, listen for the keyword. Go to 1037thegame.com. You're already going to be there anyway because you want to vote on our poll question. Click on the Swinging for Cash. Enter the keyword. And you have a chance to win cash. It's that easy. It's that easy. That's all you got to do.
And that's not the only keyword that we will play today. There'll be one that'll play here in approximately 3 minutes or so now. But there will be other keywords that will also play throughout the day today. You're going to want to stay tuned. Get all those keywords. Enter them in at 1037thegame.com to make your odds the best that they possibly can to win this $1,000.
You are correct. So what you got to lose, man? Seriously. Coming up at 8:02, we'll have Ron Higgins from TigerDetails.com. He's going to give us his perspective on the LSU locker room controversy, the scuttlebutt, if you will. I'd expect Ron to deliver the goods and give us a brutally honest take on it. That'll be coming up right at 8:02. You're listening to RP3 and Company right here on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game.
Live and local on Acadiana's number one sports station, 103.7 The Game. It's time for RP3 and Company, where Raymond Parks III and Cody Schutz talk sports with the biggest names in the state of Louisiana. Pro Football Hall of Famer Ricky Jackson.
I tell you what, man, I was out playing basketball, and a lot of guys came and told me things drafted to you, and they looking for you. I had forgot all about the draft.
UFC superstar Dustin the Diamond Poirier.
It means everything to me. You know, Lafayette, Louisiana, I was born and raised. I'm a Cajun. I love it. I can't wait to walk to the airport with that dog.
Time to find out what's behind that door as RP3 and Company starts now.
Welcome back to the show. You're listening to Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game. It's time now for us to head out to the ARCO Equipment Hotline and welcome on our next guest. He is the award-winning reporter, columnist for TigerDetails.com, covering all things LSU. It's our good friend, the one and only Ron Higgins.
Ron, good morning to you, brother. How are you?
Good morning, Ray. How are you, man?
I'm doing well. I wanted to have you on the program because I couldn't wait to hear your reaction to the utter outrage of the new locker room, state-of-the-art locker room for LSU. I'll let you have the floor, my friend. Your thoughts on people being outraged and upset about LSU's new locker room?
Well, basically, I know all these people who apparently are still stuck in back in the 1940s or 50s and don't believe that a good college football program drives your university, and they still believe that, you know, I know it's against the whole principles of education that sports drives a university instead of academics, but you know, at LSU it just does, and that's the way it's been for 40 or 50 years. There are people rather donate money to athletics and academics, and people fail to see that that the economic impact of LSU football, you know, the impact of LSU football reaches far beyond the football field. It reaches into the economic impact of Baton Rouge and South Louisiana. And when your football, when the LSU's football program is going good, it brings in more money. It pays for all the bills for the rest of the sports and LSU athletic department. It creates jobs, I think 14,000 jobs at a Baton Rouge, you know, economic advisor, a guy who looked at that kind of stuff, looked at it and said 14,000 jobs are created by LSU sports, and particularly football. Forbes magazine said the LSU football makes $8.5 million per home game as far as economic impact. I don't understand the backlash of a $28 million renovation that really will help make your football program better. And here's how it makes it better. Here's what people fail to understand. They look at this renovation and think it's lavish because you know, you have this state-of-the-art cafeteria with a nutritionist there. Your locker room has sweet pods at each locker, complete with, you know, the technological hookup for iPads and other electronic stuff that players use. They don't understand that, especially during preseason practice, that players, even though they're 18, 19 years old, they get exhausted. They get tired because sometimes they practice in the morning, then they have to go to meetings, and then they only have like a couple hours to take a nap, and they have to come back for more meetings, and then they have to, you know, have another practice sometimes, and so they have to leave. They have to go find something to eat, take a nap somewhere, and then try to get back to practice. And LSU kind of figured out that, you know what, why don't we have, you know, sleep pods at each locker, and then model them after first-class sleep pods you have on the luxury jet, the luxury first-class stuff on jets. Why not model it after that and let's have sleep pods to where they can go to their locker and take naps, and then they can hook in their iPods. And the thing is, also now players have iPads. Because that's what they look at film on. That's what their playbooks are now. It's not on like a big old thick notebook they carry around. This is modern technology. So you hook it into your, you know, your hookups at your locker, and so this all fits in. It was very smart the way LSU thought this out, because now your players can stay at the facility during preseason practice. They can stay there. They can take naps. They have a great cafeteria, which is open to all LSU athletes, not just football players. But, you know, they eat good meals, nutrition, you know, make sure they get the right stuff. And it's an investment of trying to make your football program better. If your program's better, it's going to win. If it wins, it brings in more money. It's pretty obvious. Well, I don't understand why people can't get this concept. I get the fact that there's stuff in LSU campus that needs to be fixed. The library is awful. There's other parts of the stuff that they don't have enough money to fix right now. But don't blame LSU. I mean, LSU's athletic department funded this thing through private donations. All private donations from the Tiger Athletic Foundation and from a couple of players, $1 million each, and Tyron Mathew and from Patrick Peterson. But, yeah, you got, you know, some of the general public going, well, why do we spend that money on, you know, fixing buildings? And you had a professor on campus who was whining about, all the money being spent on that. Well, you know what? People, you know, donated money to, that's what they wanted to spend their money on. They didn't want to spend on academics. And I'm sorry, but that's just the way it is. It's been that way for 40 years, you know, ever since the NCAA, you know, lost its case in the Supreme Court about controlling college football TV and opened up the glut of TV money to college football with all these different broadcasts. You know, the money's come in and it's been put to use most of the time for football because that's what drives the bus. That's what pays for all your bills. And I just don't understand the backlash from it because I thought the improvements made were luxury, but they were also very practical. And it's not like some other places that have football ops buildings or all these extras and bells and whistles like barber shops and shoe shine stations and that are basically like, why do you have those? LSU was very practical in what they put together. So I'm just baffled by the backlash, right?
We're talking with Ron Higgins of TigerDetails.com here on the ARCO Equipment Hotline. Ron, the other part of this is that there are things that the university is doing, including that new business school building that is funded and that is state of the art. Why do you think this has become such a polarizing topic there on campus and throughout the region and nationally?
Because it's always that stereotype that, you know, college football appears more important than college academics. Well, sorry, but at some universities, it is, and you know. And if you have a good college football team, a lot of times that does attract people to your university. It's been kind of documented over and over. But when you win a national championship, you usually get a boost the next year in enrollment because it sounds crazy, but kids want to go to that school. They want to go where there's a winning football team. If you're a student, you want to go somewhere where you feel like, you can be proud of your football team. And that's kind of like just the way it's been for a long time. But there's still this segment of society who believes that they believe college sports is out of control or whatever. I mean, yeah, it's been out of control for a long time. But again, and especially LSU, let's play LSU apart. LSU's athletic department is self-sustaining. It doesn't take any money from the University of General Fund. In fact, it puts money back into the General Fund. It's put back over $40 million in the last 5 years. And so it puts money back in there. It didn't take money out. But still people have this hook, this idea that, the academic part of college should be more important than the sports part. And I don't disagree with that, but it's not going to happen anymore. And especially in major college programs, it doesn't happen. And, most of the time, and at LSU especially. So they have to get used to it, and the way I look at it, If people want to get angry about the LSU not have enough money to they built some new stuff at other parts of the campus to fix stuff or whatever, upgrade. Go to that legislature and bitch at them. They're the ones that basically wanted to consider sports betting in Louisiana, which put in the proper context that they. If they allowed sports betting like Mississippi does with its casinos, and they're making a killing, if Louisiana got off its high moral ground, which I don't understand why they're hooked up on not proving sports betting, if they did that, they'd have all this money coming in. They could fix some of the stuff, not only LSU but other universities, but they don't do it. So don't blame LSU and the football and the athletic department for doing something that's an investment, not an expenditure.
We're talking with Ron Higgins of TigerDetails.com right here on the ARCO Equipment Hotline. Ron, they're going to give an official ribbon cutting today and / tour. I take it you're going to be taking part in that, checking it out.
How big of a deal, put the controversy aside, how big of a deal is this for LSU in recruiting moving forward?
Well, it's a huge deal. I mean, it puts them ahead of a lot of places. Because let's face it, a place where football players spend most of their time is the operations building. You know, it's where they have meetings, it's where they lift weights, and now it's a place where they can eat and know they're going to get really good meals. And now it's also a place now, I mean, they have a nice players' lounge where they can do video games or whatever they want to do. And look, people think this is like outlandish. No, people, this is the norm. A lot of places have that now. LSU's, some of the stuff LSU's done to its building is stuff that other places already have. Now, LSU's taking it past that with the, with the sleep pods, but a lot of places have already have cafeterias in their football office building. Ole Miss has had one for, golly, I mean, a while, and others have that. It's kind of like, it's just the way it is now in college athletics. And, you know, some people may say it's an arms race. Well, yeah, for recruiting, yes, it is. But also, if it else has it, you also need it, too, if you want to, you know, stay even in the recruiting. But the sleep pods and the dressing room have really kind of taken this to a new level. And like I said, I didn't think it was outlandish. I thought it was pretty practical what they did. And I think when the recruits see this and walk in, they're going to be dazzled by it. And the fact that LSU's been able to bring in some really good recruiting classes without it tells you how much they could possibly bring in now that they have it. So, yeah, I think it's a big deal. I can't wait to see it today. I know you'll probably be there. Maybe I'll have time to take a nap on the sleep pods, you know. Maybe probably after – probably they're supposed to feed us a meal when we walk in, so we'll probably all fall asleep in one of the sleep pods afterwards. But I will have my
camera ready for that, Ron.
Yeah, I know. So I thought it was on the context of what everybody else has done in college athletics, in the context of the money that the football program brings in, to me it was an expenditure. It wasn't an expenditure, it was an investment. And that's what you do. You invest in your product and your people, and they invested. I think that's why I didn't, you know, I just kind of look at what the naysayers and people who just kind of understand it. And, you know, you can't change your mind. That's the way they feel. They're always going to feel that way.
We're wrapping up things here with Ron Higgins of TigerDetails.com on the ARCO Equipment Hotline. Ron, I want to ask you about the announcement that was made official on Monday about the latest former Tiger hoops great getting his jersey retired. It seems like a long time coming. Why do you think it happened, and how big of a deal is it to have Abdul Rauf's jersey hanging from the rafters now inside the PMAC?
I think it's a big deal. I mean, he had two of the best years in LSU history as a freshman and sophomore. We went to the pros. Then known as Chris Jackson. And you look at the guys who've had major impact on LSU's program, and, he deserves to be up there, you know, with the Maravichs and the Macklins and the Shaqs. Yeah, he certainly deserves that. He had a good pro career and probably would have been better. But he stuck his religious beliefs as a Muslim and was probably ahead of his time as far as protesting national anthems and stuff like that. And it hurt him as far as, you know, everything, you know, the way he was looked at as kind of being militant. He was never militant on the court. He was never militant the way he played or treated his teammates. I think he probably just ahead of his time with that, and people didn't know how to handle it. And I was thinking back, I saw the last pro game in person that Mahmoud ever played. I happened to go when the Vancouver Grizzlies were moving to Memphis. I had to go up to Vancouver the last week of the season to cover them about the transition. And he was playing for them, and their very last game of the season, he had like 25, 28 points, and then I don't think he ever played another game after that, and because he didn't make the move to Memphis, and I don't think he played. I think he played after that, but he was a great player. He deserved to be had a jersey hung in the rafters, and I'm glad to see LSU do it. LSU moves a little slow on stuff like that. I mean, you know, we've been waiting for years first of all, it took him way too long to get a Billy Cannon statue, way too long. And it's taken way too long to get a Pete Maravich statue, you know, and they're supposed to be working on that. And I always thought there should be a Pete Maravich statue right out in front of the Assembly Center, just like there's a Michael Jordan statue in front of the United Center in Chicago. There should be a Pete Maravich one from the Assembly Center. The place was named after him. So put one out there. But it takes LSU a long time to get stuff done. But I'm glad they got this done for my move.
Ron, appreciate your time as always and your insight. I'll see you later today, brother, and we'll talk to you soon.
Bye, Ray. Take care. We'll see you.
Ron Higgins, TigerDetails.com, joining us, talking all things LSU. We got to hit a break, but after these few commercials, we'll be back talking more sports talk. Houston Astros baseball talk is on deck. We'll dive into that right here on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game. Welcome back to RP3 and Company right here on 103.7 The Game, Acadiana's Sports Station. Astros have their winning ways thwarted by those pesky Oakland Athletics last night. Remember, the Astros took care of business in Game 1 of this series. But we talked about it. Look, the Astros have a comfortable lead in the American League West. They're one of the best teams in the American League, along with the New York Yankees. And they're constantly going to be in the mix here. They're a World Series contender, without doubt. They have Justin Verlander. They have Gerrit Cole, a sneaky Cy Young Award candidate himself. They need help on the back. We've talked about they need help on the back end of the rotation. Going to have to make a move during the trade deadline. Their lineup is healthy. They're still waiting on Carlos Correa to come back from his rehab assignment. This is a damn good team. World Series contender. But the A's are pesky. Make no doubt about it. They are pesky. And they lost last night to a team that is fighting for a berth in probably a wild card berth. The Oakland is more than likely not going to run down and catch the Astros for the American League Western Division title. But the A's are definitely in contention for that wild card. The Astros' bullpen kind of let them down last night. The A's got a 3-run home run from Matt Olson in the 9th inning. And the Astros lost 4-3 in 11 innings last night. Robert Osuna was not great. Wade Miley was good. The former Southeastern Lion went 8 scoreless innings of work. But it wasn't enough. Bullpen let him down again. And that's been a bugaboo for the Stros all season long, is the bullpen. They got to figure out a way to get that fixed. They're way too inconsistent for a team that's supposed to be competing for a World Series championship. Reminder, you can listen to Game 3 of this series today. Not tonight, today. Right here on 103.7 The Game. We are your home for the Houston Astros. Day baseball today. 12:30, Astro launch. First pitch, 1:10, so that's no Jordy Holberg show. Houston Astros baseball right here on 103.7 The Game. We got to pay some bills. We'll be back after this. Welcome back to the show. This is Katie in a Sports Station, 103.7 The Game. If you'd like to give us a call, feel free to do so. Arco Equipment Hotline, 337-706-0111. Love to hear from you, from the question that we asked and we have up on the 103.7thegame.com website as our poll question. Do you think the hire of B.J. Ryan, former UL star pitcher, Major League Baseball draft pick, 10-year vet in the Big Show, and a two-time All-Star, is a home run hire? Want to hear from you. Let's head out to the ARCO Equipment Hotline and welcome on James to the show. James, how you doing this morning, brother?
I'm doing fine. Yourself?
I'm doing great, man. I'm doing great. What's on your mind?
Well, the previous guest you had, what was his connection to LSU?
That's Ron Higgins. He covers LSU for TigerDetails.com, and he's previously covered them for the Times-Picayune.
Okay, okay. And I can understand, you know, his want to defend the spending of the money that went towards the new football facility, the new athletic facility, I should say. But, you know, if you look at, I can also look at the point of Eric Reed and others who have come out and say, well, couldn't this have gone towards some of the educational purposes that LSU is supposed to be an academic university, first and foremost, and not an athletic university, correct?
Oh, that's correct, but this is private donations, so people are allowed to donate how they choose. I mean, my bigger point, James, and the one that I've tried to make is, whether it's the players or the boosters, whoever it is, they're allowed to make the donations to what they want to make it to. If they don't make it to improve the library, then that's on LSU for not getting people to donate to help their library.
And you're right there, because they're, you know, LSU as of 2 years ago had $600 million worth of, well, their buildings. It would cost to fix some of the buildings at LSU.
That's correct.
LSU spends $400,000 a year on books for the Middleton Library, which is the main library on campus, while other universities and the SEC spend close to $1 million a year. But LSU is supposed to be an academic university. They put a river over by Middleton, a little false river. Like, that helps out anything with their one education. I don't see how, but they were able to find the money or the funding for the little fake river. But you can't find the money for the repair of Middleton Library or Coates Hall, or many of the other buildings on campus that are in total disrepair right now. I do research at LSU, and I can tell you there is a lot of stuff that needs to be improved out there, a lot.
James, I want to hit on a couple of those things. Yeah, the lazy river thing, what does that serve? I think it has to become a priority for the administration there at LSU to make sure things are taken care of, right? Look, athletics is going to take care of itself because people are going to boosters, former alumni, famous or non-famous, are going to contribute to the athletic department. They always have, right? They're going to take care of that. So athletics department, they're going to take care of themselves. You don't have to go and worry about that. So the university's focus should be, what can we do for the library? What can we do for one of our main buildings, our science building or our math building or whatever it may be, our cafeteria? They have to put forth their resources to do that. I think you can make the strong argument that they have not done that and they have dragged their feet in doing so in the past 10 to 15 years.
And most definitely have done so. They have dragged their feet. You're 100% correct. I will not say you're not. And the people that attend LSU, the ones that teach at LSU and the ones that support LSU need to hold the administration's feet to the fire when it comes to this.
Exactly.
Plain and simple. But it's, you know, their credo is we're an academic university first, we'll prove it. No. Prove it. We're not an athletic university. Prove that you're an academic university first and foremost. One of the top ones in the state of Louisiana. It may not be the top one, but you're supposed to be in the top three at least. Well, you know, the proof is in the pudding. That's the old saying, correct?
That is correct, James. I appreciate the phone call, brother. You have a great day.
You too.
That's James. Makes some great points there. Because if you want to be known as an academic institution, you have to back it up. And you have to prove it. Once again, like I said, athletics is going to take care of itself, Cody, right? You're going to have boosters that their whole goal and the only thing that kind of drives them is, in fact, contributing to the athletic department, contributing to the football team, donating money that way. That's how they give back to their university that they love, okay? Athletics is always going to take part, always going to take care of themselves at this level, okay? It's the school that needs to be taken care of. And look, there are things that have changed. You have that area across from Tiger Stadium that has like the coffee shops, and I think some of those are apartments. They've done some revamping there. They redid Mike the Tiger's facilities, his area where he roams, hangs out, chills, okay? They've done those things. And as I mentioned before, they had that new business building that they invested a lot of money into. But it falls on them. It falls on the president of the university. It falls on the Board of Regents. And it falls on the professors there and the students there to hold them accountable and to force the issue. It shouldn't take the athletic department getting a $28 million worth of private donations to rebuild a locker room to bring this to the forefront. This should be out front to begin with.
I mean, I'm looking right now, and this was a very simple Google search for me, high-profile LSU graduates. And there, it's a link right there at the top, and it brings you to lsu.edu, to the LSU official school website. And you can scroll through here, and you see the current staff secretary for the Washington Post graduated from LSU. The lead engineer for NASA graduated from LSU. A retired member of the FBI's highest-ranking African-American women's special agent group graduated from LSU. Bill Conti, a well-known music composer, graduated from LSU. James Carville graduated from LSU. Keith Como, who is one of the guys designing the rovers that go all over the planets and outers. You have gigantic, and then look, Shaquille O'Neal. That's where Shaquille O'Neal shows up on this page of notable LSU alumni. He's, you know, of all the people that get a special blurb about themselves, there's only one athlete that has. The rest are academic graduates that have their achievements in the world of education. Why can't, like James said, why can't we hold their feet to the fire? Why are we mad at Tyrann Mathieu and Patrick Peterson and LSU as a university because all the money was donated to make the LSU locker room state-of-the-art, as incredible as it can be, but none of these people who work for NASA or who run the Washington Post or who are well-known music composers, James Carville, who's an icon of the state in general, none of these people are stepping up to help academically.
They may be. We don't know, right? We don't know.
True that. Not to that extent.
Right, but they're not out front. Like Tyrann Mathieu and Patrick Peterson are part of the video that the LSU Athletic Department creates about the new facility and why they decided to help out.
So marketing might be an issue here as well.
Are you reaching your audience? And we brought this up on yesterday's show. The point I wanted to make was, okay, you have this opportunity, and Charles Mann, the professor there at LSU, makes the joke about how he has to use his own dirt devil that he bought at Walmart to clean his office. Okay. Is that the time and the place for that? Because you just made it worse. You made it a negative where you could have used this opportunity. What should have been done as a professor at LSU, what you should have done is, okay, you take that link and you go, congratulations to the LSU Athletic Department for these great new digs. Hey, all you Tiger fans that love our football team, the university could use your help. You know, we have a library that needs some funding.
How about a call to action?
A call to action right now. Use the momentum that naturally was created by having the athletic department do this. Why not ride that wave? Why not build off of that momentum from that and help get something done? Instead, you make a complaint and you throw shade at the athletic department, and then he has to walk back his comments, and then you have the star quarterback of the football team calling him out on Twitter and everything. Like, you're a professor. You should know better, first of all. You're a former newspaper columnist. You should know better. Okay? That was a missed opportunity by people that wanted things to get done there at LSU.
It can still be salvaged.
I
don't think the window is closed yet.
It can still be salvaged because I can guarantee I've talked to some LSU people, graduates, that are a little embarrassed, not by the locker room, but by the negative news that's come around with the locker room when it pertains to some of the facilities there on campus, including the library. You have an opportunity here to do the right thing. You have the opportunity to make this a good thing. But when you come out and you automatically put your own athletic department and your own football team on blast for getting something via private donations, you hurt your cause. You hurt your cause. You make it now even more difficult to get something done. The wise thing would have been to do is to take that and go, yes, this is great. Congratulations to the Tigers. Congratulations to our football team for getting these new state-of-the-art digs. Hey, let's make the rest of the campus state-of-the-art. Let's make the rest of our institution state-of-the-art, cutting-edge, the best in the country. We need your help. Can you please donate here? That's what should have happened. That's not what happened. Let's go back out to the ARCO Equipment Hotline. Welcome on Bob to the show. Bob, good morning to you. What's on your mind, brother?
All this fake outrage by some people—it's kind of enlightening about a lot of things that are going on in the United States these days, as far as you know, how we spend our money and who we donate it to, and why is it anybody's business? And as far as that professor, I'd like to know how much he makes. And if he can't hack it in the public sector, let him go work in a private sector. And if he's got to get off his behind and use a Walmart dirt devil to clean his own office, well, so damn be it. Because there's a lot of other people that would love to have his job. So, you know, if he can't hack it cleaning his own office, well, hire somebody. Or if he doesn't like it, you know, move out of his office and go do something else. But you know what? You said one thing that I think that, you know, either the TAF or the LSU Athletic Department should have got ahead of, and it's the amount of money that they take in every year, not only to, you know, provide funding for non-revenue producing sports on campus, but also money that is given back to the university on a yearly basis. And if you look at those numbers, okay, that's money that the LSU, you know, administration, you know, should covet every year. And the people that don't know about how much money the LSU Athletic Department gives back to the university, okay, should just shut up, because they got no say in this matter.
Bob,
that's all I got to say.
Bob, terrific points. I want to touch on a few of them. Thank you for the phone call. To answer a couple things for Bob, I've seen reports that Professor Mann's salary is in the six figures, by the way. I've seen some reports of $140,000 a year.
Yikes.
And he's complaining about buying a vacuum cleaner from Walmart. So in a state that's dealt with economic setbacks over the last 3 to 4 years, I'm pretty sure you shouldn't be complaining about buying your own vacuum cleaner from Walmart. Okay, that's the first thing there. The second thing is, we mentioned it earlier. Reports have it that LSU Athletics, which is anchored by the football program and the money generated from them, gives back to the university anywhere between $7 to $10 million per year. $7 to $10 million per year. So the athletic department says, hey, we're doing so well. Here's $7 to $10 million per year. Have at it. Then that falls back on the university and the leadership there in the Board of Regents to figure out what to properly do with that money. And I want to talk about one of Bob's bigger points that he brought to the show there. This notion of what people should or should not do with their money. I'm tired of that too. We've talked about it on this show. It is my damn money. If I want to donate to whoever I want to donate to, that's my choice. It's my choice. Just because I donate money to an athletic program doesn't mean that it's my responsibility and that I should be made feel guilty for donating to a football team or donating to an athletic department and not donating to a library or donating to a science building. It's my money. I earned my money by working. It's not my responsibility. It's not Cody's responsibility. It's not Bob's responsibility to make sure everyone else gets taken care of. Okay? This whole mindset of, well, everyone's got to be taken care of. Everything's got to be, you know, fair and balanced. Stop. I make my money. I work hard for my money. If I choose to donate it to whoever I want to donate it to, that's my choice. Ain't none of your business what I do with my money. And I shouldn't be, you shouldn't try to make people feel guilty for making a donation for something that they feel passionate about. These people would not be this upset. I guarantee you, Charles Mann would not be throwing a hissy fit on Twitter if someone decided, hey, Charles, here's $10 million donated to your department. Do you think he would turn around and say, you know what? The LSU tennis team needs some money. Let's make sure to take care of them. I'd be willing to bet you he wouldn't. And that's the hypocritical nature of these complaints about what's happening. Private donations, once again. People are allowed to donate privately to whatever they want to do so. Stop trying to make people feel guilty about it. That's a little rant of the week. Early version of that. A little bit of a preview. We got to hit one last break here to pay some bills. When we come back, though, we'll wrap up today's show right here on Acadiana Sports Station 103.7 The Game. Welcome back to the show right here on Acadiana Sports Station 103.7 The Game. We are broadcasting live from the 237 Roof Studios presented by Lafayette Roofing. Also simulcast on Stadium Network 32.1. Free over-the-air 24-hour sports coverage. You can also find us on LUS Fiber 133 and 1133 in high definition. Programming reminder, no Jordy Holberg show today. Uncle Jordy taking the day off, okay, because we got day baseball for you, ladies and gentlemen. Oakland Athletics at Houston Astros. Pregame will start at 12:30, so we'll interrupt the Jim Rome show. Astro launch, 12:30, first pitch, A's, Stros, 1:10. You can listen to that live right here on 103.7 The Game. After the completion of the Stros game, the good brother Ben Love will take over somewhere around 4:30 or so. He'll take you to 6 o'clock with Bumper to Bumper Sports. That'll be followed by Five Guys, Stories and Lies from 6 to 8. So make sure to keep it live and local right here on 103.7 The Game. I want to thank our guest today, Tim Buckley from the Daily Advertiser. I want to thank Ron Higgins from TigerDetails.com. I want to take a moment to thank also all of our callers that decided to be part of the show, including Bob and James. Thank you for the calls. They are appreciated. We'll have James Yasko from Lima Time Time Podcast joining us tomorrow talking all things Stros. We'll also have Les East. Saints training camp begins. He'll give us the lowdown on that from CrescentCitySports.com, plus much, much more. Cody, real quick, our poll question. Remind people what it is and what are the results as of right now, brother.
At 1037thegame.com, you can vote on how big of a home run hire you think B.J. Ryan is as the Cajuns' new pitching coach. Grand slam, three-run home run, two-run shot, solo shot, or maybe it's not a home run at all in your mind. Right now, 57% are saying it's a grand slam hire. And then that leaves a three-run homer for 14%, 14% for a solo shot, and another 14% for not a home run at all. But grand slam seeming to take the cake.
Keep voting. It's right there on the 103.7 The Game homepage. Y'all have a great day. You're listening to Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game.